Give you praise, Almighty God. We give you praise, Father. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, Father. We give you praise, Father. Give you praise, Jesus. Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Father, we give you everlasting praise. We give you everlasting glory. Jesus, we thank you that you've reconciled us to the Father. We thank you that we are joint heirs with you. We are sons of the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, for your love. Thank you. You are worthy of all praise. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Be seated real quietly, please. Blessed be the Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus.
Bless you, Jesus.
Begin to do. It says in the book of Proverbs that even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. Remember that. I'm going to come back to that later. Even a fool, I'm paraphrasing, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. And there's one thing I want to do in my walk with Christ is to learn from the best. Now, granted, we can all learn from each other. We know that. We can all learn from each other. No doubt about it. If I want to learn about servanthood, you know, I'll sit down with Marty and Gay and Alex. Alex and Renee, they're humble, meek. And you've heard me say it several times. I say it consistently. I serve under probably one of the deadest men in the world that I know of, meaning a pastor that basically has given up his own agendas for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've definitely learned from him and his wife. I've definitely learned from Barbara Fish. We learn from each other, but there's one whom they cannot compare to. And his name is Jesus Christ. The Son of God, God Himself. He is my perfect, perfect, perfect prototype. He is my perfect example. I mean, not one blemish. He is the perfect example of what I want to be. I mean, perfect example of what I want to be. So I've been going through the Gospels for hours a day, just going through the Gospels, looking at every one of his reactions in certain situations. I was a little misled before when I was going through a time of sickness. I would read every single miracle that he did, and it's not in vain, it worked. It saturated my mind into believing Jesus could heal me. But one thing that we forget is I looked at all the miracles and I read them and I meditated them. And I put myself in that place as I was going through a time of struggle. It's good to go through those miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it's another thing to go and study his life of obedience in every single situation. And as I've been going through the Gospels, there's a particular portion of Scripture that just touched me. It's so basic. It's so basic, and it's not a great revelation that I got from the Holy Spirit, but I want to learn from the best. And Jesus is the perfect prototype, the perfect example that me and you have to learn from. I've learned through hearing. These last few years, I've learned to hear a lot more and to talk a lot less. Are you there yet? No. But I've learned to hear a lot more, because Christians are always quote scriptures. Christians will always convince you through their much quoting, or they'll try that they're okay in God. How many of you know sometimes when you're not doing good in God? When I say not doing, I'm not really more or less talking about sin. And maybe you're a little complacent. Maybe you could be talking about sin, and you're miserable in your life. And the last thing you want to hear is what? A Christian beating you up with God's word. It happens, doesn't it? Amen. If you know somebody that'll beat you up with God's word. You know. And there's a time, please don't get me wrong, I do not want to mislead you. I feel the teacher on me. I don't want to mislead you, because there's times that we have to sit down and break bread with our brothers and sisters and partake of this. Absolutely. Absolutely. But Jesus is my perfect prototype. I want to respond to every situation like he responded to them. The first thing he did was he listened to the Holy Spirit within himself and his humanity. He always listened. That's what the book of James says. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Quick to listen to what? The Logos, the word inside of me and you. For what? For every single application in life. He said, let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James said, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? It's the very thing that he told me and you to listen to. He said, Renee, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man it works not the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God that he wants me and you to work out in our life is the very thing inside of me and you that he asked us. Be quick to listen. And Jesus, my perfect prototype, was a man that was quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So he was able to work out what he heard, because he was patient in his life. In every single situation, every trial, every tribulation, every temptation, Jesus, from what I gathered from the scriptures, was a patient man, hearing the instruction of God, hearing who to minister to, what region to go to, what town he went to. He operated from within. He operated from within, from the instruction of God from within. In this particular portion of scripture, Simon Peter is swearing to Jesus, I'm willing to die for you, Lord. Even if all shall betray you, I shall never betray you. In fact, Lord, on the contrary, I'll die for you. Jesus tells him, and I'm paraphrasing, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. Never, Lord. This will never happen. I will never deny you. You've got to understand that Simon Peter, he walked with Jesus. Simon Peter saw Jesus raise the dead. Simon Peter saw Jesus in action as he extended limbs, as he healed blind eyes. Simon Peter was never in an instance with Jesus Christ where he saw Jesus do wrong. Jesus Christ, as he is my perfect prototype, was Simon Peter's perfect prototype. He says, Lord, I'll die for you, Lord. Even if all these 11, even if they shall fail you and deny you, I never will. I'll stand with you to the end. And he later did. He did. But Jesus looked at him directly in the eye. Simon Peter, before you hear the rooster crow three times, you will deny me. He said, never, Lord. Never. That's why sometimes when I hear people talking out of zeal, in other words, out of excitement for God, not exactly speaking in the Spirit, but when they speak in zeal, sometimes I just don't listen. Because words in God's kingdom mean very little. I hear people evangelize sometimes the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I say, my God, no wonder nobody wants to come to Christ. You don't evangelize by telling somebody you need to come to church. That's not evangelism. That's not evangelism. But here Simon Peter swore allegiance, God, I'm with you to the end. That I will never, ever deny you. I know who you are. You indeed are the Christ. You are the Son of God, the risen Savior. It's not going to happen, Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, before you hear the rooster crow, you will deny me. And he did. He denied Jesus, began to curse in the midst of a crowd, trying to separate himself from the company of the disciples of Christ. He said, I don't know this man, Jesus. And he began to cuss, began to curse. I don't know him. Who is he? I've never walked with him. In the heat of the moment, not being born again, he swore allegiance to Jesus. And I'm going somewhere with this. He swore allegiance to Lord, like Alex and Renee, they're real close to me. He rubbed shoulders with Jesus. He rubbed shoulders with him. Lord, he didn't say there might be a slight chance that I might deny you, Lord. He said, Lord, I will never deny you. And he did, along with the other 11. He denied Jesus at that moment of his life. What do you think? Him looking at God eyeball to eyeball. Looking at Jesus, the Son of Man, eyeball to eyeball, Ashton. Eyeball to eyeball. Said, Lord, I will never deny you. I'll give up my life for you, even if it means that, Jesus. Simon Peter, no, you won't. Yes, I will. But when pressure came, being unregenerate, he denied Jesus. He knew what he had done. What do you think Simon Peter needed at that moment? What if Jesus, the Son of God, would have had a bad day? And he were to see Simon Peter 2 days after the fact, after Simon Peter's denial. What if Jesus would have seen him and would have been having a bad day and looked at Simon Peter eyeball to eyeball and said, I gave you everything, man. What if Jesus, having a bad day, would have looked at Simon Peter eyeball to eyeball and said, Simon Peter, you saw the miracles that I worked. You saw the love that I walked in. You saw the mercy and the forgiveness. What is wrong with you, Simon Peter? You had it all with me. I gave you bread. I gave you fish. I gave you provision. I gave you victuals. I gave you everything you could ever want in this life, Simon Peter. I gave it to you, but yet you chose in the time to deny me. A man did everything for you. What if Jesus would have acted in this way and ripped out Simon Peter's heart? You knew better, Simon Peter. You knew better. How dare you? You denied me the second person of the God. You denied me God. Woe be to you, Simon Peter. Woe be to you. What if Jesus would have had a bad day Of course, he was just a man. When he lived out his life, he lived out his life in his humanity as a human being. What if he would have had a bad day? Simon Peter, those years that I invested in you were vanity. You failed me, Simon Peter. Many times in life, that's the way we feel that God views me and you in our failure. We might not say it, but in our heart, we think it. So Simon Peter saw miracle after miracle that Jesus performed. I mean, miracle after miracle. Imagine being with Jesus and seeing him raise the dead. The young ruler's daughter, seeing him raise the dead. Seeing a man born blind his whole life, seeing his vision restored. Imagine walking with Jesus as he performed all these miracles. Miracle after hundreds, maybe thousands of miracles, Simon Peter witnessed all this. Jesus could have had a bad day and looked at Simon Peter intently in the eye and said this to him. I gave you all that you needed, Simon Peter. You failed me. Those years of investments that I invested in you were vanity. You were no good to my ministry. I regret the day that I met you, Simon Peter. Imagine if Jesus would have had a bad day and began to rip Simon Peter up. Scripture. But Jesus is my perfect prototype. Not one time in his life, in his humanity, did he react in a manner that was not suiting to the Father. Everything that he did was inspired of the Spirit. Led of the, everything that he said was what he heard inside. Everything that he did, every city that he walked to, every miracle that he performed, every trial he went through, every tribulation he went through, he did it according to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Everything that he did, even the situation with Simon Peter. Now me, Felix and Renee deny me. You dumb poppies. I'm being sarcastic. Alex, Renee, come on, boys, y'all know better. Alex will come to me and say, well, Homer, I got to resign my post from the youth ministry because I'm having an affair with somebody. I'm just saying. Alex, what's the Bible say, you idiot? Sin shall have no dominion over you. Now, I could have quoted scripture at Alex. This isn't happening. Alex, according to 1 John, you shall not sin habitually. What's wrong with you, Alex? Come on, Renee, who told you to get drunk? You know better than this. Be holy like me, Renee. I've heard that before. Sin has no dominion over you, Renee, according to Romans. What's wrong with you, man? Can't believe you let me down like that, Renee. Now, that's a typical response by a Christian. Amen? It's a typical response. God, I can't believe that, Renee. God, I can't believe the people you've affected by your error. Now, that might be true. But the words of my Savior, or the lack of words in this instance, they made me weep. Because Jesus is so misunderstood. If we could ever grasp within our hearts the love that he has for me and you, if we could ever grasp it and comprehend it, we would never, ever, ever be the same. Now here's Simon Peter. Your fingers hurt yet? It don't matter because you can't stop anyway. Now here's Simon Peter. Now you got to imagine this. He was with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. Let me teach you something today. Let me teach you something today according to perfection. Who's perfect? Jesus. In every aspect of his game, he is perfect. He is perfect. In our failure, in our darkest hour, He is perfect in wisdom. He ain't mad at you, man. Black lady sitting south side of town, y'all heard me before. God loves you, but He'll kill you. Okay. God loves me, but He'll kill me. The devil wants to kill me. God wants to kill me. I don't have a chance. No, my friends. God's not mad at you. God's not going to kill you. On the contrary, He gives me and you life and life more abundant. So here we have Simon Peter, a man that rubbed shoulders with Jesus, denied Jesus, denied that he knew him. The rooster crows. Simon Peter remembers the word of the Lord when Jesus said, the last time Simon Peter denied, he said, man, I do not know what you're saying. I do not know this man. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed for the third time. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke 22:61. Sometimes we just got to be quiet. Verse 60, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, though, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. 61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now listen to this now. They're in the same room now. I'm not going to go into detail. Simon Peter denies Jesus. He says, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know this man. Immediately the rooster crows for the third time. And the Bible says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Now the Greek says that he turned and stared at Peter. This was after Peter denied Jesus. What do you think Peter felt when he denied Jesus the third time? Then he looks up and sees Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus turned around and stared at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here you have it, folks. Peter swearing allegiance to Jesus. I've been betrayed before, man. And I've betrayed people. But here Simon Peter swears allegiance to Jesus. Bear with me, I'm halfway there. He said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Never. Even if it means dying, I'll never deny you. Jesus says, Simon Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. He denied him the third time. The rooster crowed. They ended up in the same room. The Bible says that Jesus looked over and stared. Didn't say a word. He stared at Simon Peter. What do you think Simon Peter felt that day as he denied Jesus, looked at Jesus eyeball to eyeball after he betrayed him? The Bible says that Jesus looked over at him and he stared at him with compassion, according to the Greek. I'll tell you what he felt that day, because the Bible says after Jesus looked at him, he went outside and he wept bitterly. Let me tell you something, friends. The last thing somebody needs to hear when they've offended you, or when you know they're going to offend you, or when they're hurting, or when you know that they let you down, The last thing they need to hear sometimes is me and you beat them up with the Word of God. What do you think Simon Peter felt as the Son of God, as God Almighty in the flesh turned around and stared at him? I'll tell you what he felt. He probably went back in the pages of his mind and remembered the goodness of the Lord. He probably went back in the pages of his mind and felt the compassion and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. He probably came to terms with himself and said, "My God, I have just betrayed the Son of God." Bible says he went outside and he wept bitterly. But what if Jesus would have had a bad day that day and reprimanded Simon Peter with the scripture? But yet Jesus chose another course. He chose to walk according to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit at that moment. He looked at him with eyes of compassion. Peter looked at him, made eye contact, left the room, and wept bitterly. Without saying a word, Jesus let Simon Peter know, "Boy, I love you. You're going to come back to me one day, and you're going to change the world. Not only that, by your own choice, Simon Peter, because you chose not to deny me, you're going to offer yourself up a sacrifice and be martyred for me. Not because I ask it, but because you chose it." All the goodness, all the times that they rubbed shoulders and fellowshiped and broke bread and had late night Bible studies as the Son of God taught Simon Peter at this particular moment when Simon Peter was down. Jesus looked at him eyeball to eyeball with eyes of compassion, love, and mercy. "Don't worry about it. I love you. Don't worry about it. I forgive you." Without saying a word. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that you serve. Looked at him. He didn't reprimand him. He didn't beat him up with the word. He looked at him, made eye contact, and had compassion on him. Peter left the room and he wept bitterly. "Why are you crying?" "I cry a lot lately when I've been preaching. I just cry a lot." And he wept bitterly. To make a long story short, Peter came back, got born again, Holy Ghost filled, and changed the world for Jesus Christ. Let me ask you one thing about forgiveness. When we're offended, I've learned a lot to forgive. No, I still got issues in my life. If you don't believe me, ask my children. Ask my wife. But forgiveness. Somebody offends me and sins against me. When do we choose to forgive? During the sin? After they sin against us? Or before? A, before; B, during; or C, after they sin against us. Where does forgiveness live? I tell you, my friends, it lives before the sin even comes. Proof? Read the Gospel of John and see the words of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness, something we carry within us. Because it's by forgiveness that me and you have life in Christ. Remember, there will be times when people will sin against us. But we have the opportunity at that very instance to allow the anointing to flow through me and you and have it affect somebody else. Sometimes by saying absolutely nothing. Can you imagine, Alex, looking at Jesus eyeball to eyeball? Can you imagine what Simon Peter felt that day as God Almighty in the flesh looked at him with eyes of compassion? He probably felt something burning inside of him that day. Even Judas Iscariot, the one that would go on to betray Jesus, when he came to Jesus, another one that walked, and I'm almost done in 5 minutes. You know, I don't preach that long. What did Jesus say to Judas Iscariot, as Judas Iscariot betrayed him with a kiss for 30 shekels of silver? When Simon Peter brought all the Jews to look for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told those that wanted to kill Jesus, Him whom I kiss on the cheek, he's the one, take him. Judas Iscariot comes to Jesus, kisses him on the cheek. They know that he's the one that they are to apprehend and arrest. What does Jesus tell him? To Judas Iscariot, his treasurer. Judas Iscariot walked shoulder to shoulder with Jesus. Judas Iscariot saw the compassion, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ walked in. He saw Jesus work miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Jesus, knowing what was at hand, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, kissed him on the cheek for 30 pieces of silver. What did Jesus tell him? What did Jesus call him? As he came to apprehend Jesus with the Jewish leaders, he kissed Jesus, betrayed him with a kiss, Jesus knowing that he was about to be betrayed, handed over into the hands of sinners, offered up, crucified. He knew what was at hand. Judas Iscariot came to him and Jesus said what to him? Friend. Friend. Why comest thou here? Friend. Do you believe Jesus to be a hypocrite? Or do you believe every single word that comes out of his mouth to be sincere? Friend, why comest thou hither? Why do you come here? Friend. 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 I was so moved this morning in church. Sometimes people think I'm out of it because I don't show much emotion. But I was so moved today by the prophetic, by the power of God, my God. I wish everybody in my life that I knew would have been here this morning. It was powerful. And I was supposed to get up and say a little something today, but later on, the Holy Spirit addressed it. I was so moved that I went home and I pulled my boys together. My daughter, she wasn't here. She's gone out of town, but I pulled my boys together. I said, boys, I love you. But I hope you're living right. See, I got a seat of the salvation of my house, my friends. I said, boys, I'm your dad. There's nothing that you can say to me that would shock me. Being part of this church, me and Pastor Brown, we've seen it all. There's nothing that my kids could do that would shock me. I said, I'm asking you boys, clean your life up. If there's any darkness in your life, clean it up. The day's coming, boys. And I'm learning that you can correct people sometimes without having to raise your voice. You get so much of a better response when you do it according to the inward witness. I said, boys, hope you're living right. I questioned him one by one afterwards. And what'd you ask him? I can't tell you. That's between me and them. I knew the answers already. Most parents would have gone crazy. What I share with my boys is what I want to share with you today. Sell out, man. Sell out. Keep your appointments with Jesus. Keep them. Keep your appointments with Jesus. Don't let your girlfriend, don't let your boyfriend, don't let your job, don't let college, don't let anything in the world keep you from your appointment with Him. Because we're going to have the opportunity in the future to call somebody friend. Trust me, we will. Forgiveness doesn't come during or after. It comes before you even sin against me. It abides in our spirit. Just ready to be offered up. I'll go back to you, my friends, and tell you this in these closing words. I'm not your prototype. You can learn from me as I can learn from you. But the moment you decide to pray in the Spirit and to worship God and to open up these 66 love letters, the moment you decide to do that is a moment. You're deciding to rub shoulders with Jesus Christ. I've never understood, and I'm done in a couple of minutes, I've never understood when pastors say, I had to retire because I'm burnt out. There's no burnout in the Holy Ghost. You cannot burn out when you pray in tongues. There is no burnout. And I'm here telling my sons, and I'm here telling all of you today, spend time with Jesus, man. Because I believe, like my pastor believes, I don't believe in the final days that it's going to be a cakewalk for the believers. I don't believe it's going to be a cakewalk. I used to believe that. I don't believe that anymore. I believe the day is going to come when we're going to be put in jail for carrying this book. So be it. I believe that with all my heart. I believe before the coming of Jesus Christ that Christians will have a choice on whether to live or die for this book's sake. I really do. We can't be scared because fear will cripple you. It will cripple you and hinder you from all that God is. You want proof? And I'm done again in a minute, I promise. Simon Peter said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come to you. Come, Simon Peter. And I've heard many different reasons why he began to sink. But the Bible said that he was what? Afraid. Fear gripped him. That's what caused him to sink. The Bible says he was afraid. This and a person called the Holy Ghost will get fear out of you where you can go head first and tackle that giant, man. I saw David last week in the movie, The Bible. It starts at 8 o'clock. I about jumped out of my pants when he took the sling and he killed the giant. We're to be people that know no fear. Simon Peter couldn't walk to Jesus completely because the Bible said he was afraid. This will change you. The Holy Ghost will change you. Come with me, my friends. I told y'all 4 or 5 months ago. I told y'all. We had at one time one of the largest youth groups around. I told you in the spirit, prophesying to you that this youth group was going to shrink. I told you. It blows my mind that what we're taught on Sunday mornings, that we don't have an abundance of people, but it shouldn't blow my mind. Jesus lost several thousand in one day. You're here for a reason. Young man, you walked here for a reason today. It wasn't by coincidence. I'd rather have 15 or 20 strong that know how to deny themselves and take up their cross daily than a bunch of people that are here for recreational purposes. Come with me on this journey, man. Pray in the Spirit. Pray. Read your Bible, and you will never, ever be the same. You chose a good thing. Live according to the Word of God from within. Live according to that. Be patient. Be patient. You'll find out that when you're patient and you listen to His voice, you'll see fruit. Not everybody wants to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, man. The Holy Spirit knows who wants to hear. He'll tell you what to say. He'll show you the one. Don't live according to this, but live according to this. Come with me on this journey. The biggest lie in the world, in the Christian circle, is that it's hard being a Christian. That is not true. It's hard being a Christian when you want to play with the world. That's when it's hard. It's hard being a Christian when you choose not to partake of this and when you choose not to pray in the Spirit and spend time with Jesus. That's when it's almost an impossibility. If you think you're the victim, if every situation in your life you feel like you're the victim, you are a victim of yourself. Somebody just recently, I haven't even told Pastor, and I'm not going to tell them who it was. They ripped our church. They ripped our church because we didn't help this particular person with their family. They ripped us. And it broke my heart because they had to go to an unbeliever to tell them how bad we were in here for not helping this person with their family. It hurt me. It hurt a lot. And then I saw on Facebook the other day where this person took their kids to a Pitbull concert. The pastor don't have a clue who Pitbull is. But for me to say that they took them to a concert like that should tell you volumes. It's not our fault. It's never anybody else's fault in life, man. Never. The moment that we blame somebody else, know that we are in error, because it is never, ever, ever, never, ever anybody else's fault. When never, never, ever anybody else's fault, because we stumble in our walk with Christ. Never. If anybody had an excuse, it would be Jesus Christ. Some of the things I say are harsh, but nonetheless, if you think you're a victim all the time, then you are a victim. Victim of yourself. Let's get on with this, man. Let's get on with this. Let's get on with it. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we bless you. Father, we glorify you. Transform me, Lord, into your image. Transform my mind by your word. Edify and exhort and comfort my spirit by the Holy Ghost. Change us, Lord Jesus. Mold and mend us into your image. Being humble and meek, Father. Taking your yoke upon us. Learning from you, Jesus, because you're meek and lowly in heart. I pray for these young people here, Lord. They could be anywhere else tonight, Father. We don't have yet the big budgets, Lord. We don't have entertainment, Lord. What we can give them, Father, is something holy and undefiled. And I believe that every young person here today, Father, is not here by coincidence, Lord. But I believe there's something burning in each heart in this place tonight. In each heart in this place tonight. That says, I need more. So, Father, fill every heart. Be a father to the orphan, Father. Father to the fatherless. Comfort the young ladies and the young men, Lord. Jesus, we speak your word over their life. May a hunger and a thirst consume them, Lord, where all they want to do is give up things in the natural, Father, and spend time with you consistently. Father, I praise you and I thank you for all that you are. I praise you, Father, for all that you are and for all that you want me and my brothers and sisters to become in you. We're here, Father, to bring you glory. Not with much speech, Lord, but with our conduct. So the society may see that you dwell inside of us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your work this morning. Thank you, Father, for those changing words, those powerful words this morning, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Give you praise, Jesus. Break us. Mold us. Mend us. Correct us. Show us our error, Jesus. I thank you so much, Father. Thank you for my family, for my children, Lord. My wife, for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise, Jesus.